Hey, let's give it up for the praise team, right? Whoo, man. Anybody feeling it? Man, I'm feeling it today. Feel all in the feels today. Kind of got a little emotional in the back. Man, that song just speaks so strong to the Lord's faithfulness, even though when we are not faithful. I mean, He is the one that will take you through the valley. He's the one who puts your feet on the summit of that mountain. He's the one that walks you through the mountain. I mean, if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what can give you hope, you know? I mean, if you walked in this building today, hopefully you walk out a new person. Hopefully you've come ready to experience Christ in a real fresh way today. Man, I gotta start with a little story though, because I was preparing the message. So we're wrapping up our Frenemy series. This is the last one, and if you looked at your worship folder, the sermon title is "Why Do I Even Bother?" Why do I even bother? Anybody ever said that before? Why do I even bother? Or something remotely close to that? I don't even care anymore. I just don't care. Just do what you want to do, because it doesn't matter what I say. You're going to do what you want to do. Parents? Huh? Right? Grandparents? Anyway, you just say that all the time, right? I mean, so as a kid, my mom, you know, growing up, you may know this, we have four kids in my family, so I'm a middle child. So I have an older brother, an older sister, and a younger brother. And so a lot of times in our family, my mom, was basically ruled by her children. Like, she was a single mom and trying to raise three boys and a girl. There were many, many days where she was like, you know, I don't even know why I bother. I don't even know why I bother asking y'all to take out the trash. I don't know why I bother asking you to do some chores around the house. I don't know why I bother to ask you to do anything. Are y'all feeling me on this deal? I'm not there yet with Harper, you know, but I'm sure that there will probably be a moment in the not so far distant future that I probably will say, why do I even say anything? But with our students, I say that all the time. I don't even why I say anything to y'all about this. Hey, pick up your water bottles when you leave. Okay. They don't pick up their water bottles when they leave. All right, pick up your trash. You know, you have candy at youth group or something, and pick up your trash. Okay. They don't pick up their trash. You know, if you're a coach, you've heard that. You know, you've probably said that. Why do we even bother? That's it. You know what? Forget it. We're going to run sprints for the rest of practice because you can't listen. You're right. I mean, coach, that's what they want to say, you know, or whatever. You know, parents, you get it. You've been there. So why do I even bother? In our spiritual life, it's the same way. Why do I even bother? Why do I even care? Why do I continue to do this and deal with this stinking struggle that I have to deal with over and over and over and over and over the same thing over and over again? And it gets so frustrating. Amen? Or is it just me? I'm pretty sure if it's me, it's also you, right? We established that last week, right? You know, I was very transparent last week in the struggle, the sin struggle. So wrapping up this series, right? So we're born sinners, right? Because of original sin, Adam and Eve a long time ago, you were born into sin. And that what that means is that you were born an enemy of God. That's how you were born. If you're born and you're in this place and you have breath, you were born an enemy of God. There's nothing that you can do to fix that. There's nothing that you can do to fix that. Now, thank God He sent Jesus, His Son, to allow us, right, the opportunity to become a friend with God because of Jesus' death on the cross, right? So where we were in a terrible spot and we were unable to fix something, God said, hey, I love you, and I'm going to send Jesus to die on the cross for you to make sure that you're my friend so I can bridge that gap. And that's the only way that we can become a friend of God. So you need to know that outright. So as we continue with this sermon series today, why do I even bother? You got to know where we were, right? See, because God, while we were still sinners, sent Jesus to die for us. Thank the Lord for that, right? Amen, right? That's the good spot where you do say amen, right? But God, amen, you know, while we were still sinners, sent Jesus to die for us, right? And so we have this hope that's found in Jesus alone. And so we hear that and we get that message. And maybe you're in the room and you're like, yep, I'm a believer. Yep, I get. Yes, I get it. But then we talk about that sin that nobody wants to talk about. You know, the sin that you struggle with, the one that's deep down inside your heart that you've kind of tucked away from everybody, that not even your best, closest friend, not even maybe even your spouse, not even whoever knows about in your life, the thing that you struggle with. Jesus knows that, right? And Jesus knows that struggle, and Jesus knows that sin. But God knows that sin, and he's delivered you from that sin so that you could be a friend of God and help you overcome those. And that's kind of where we are today. Okay, so we're going to be walking through this. So we hear these things about, yep, God is making, you know, enemies of God, friend of God, and yes, he's helping my daily walk, but sometimes it's just not enough. Are y'all with me on that? Sometimes I feel like there's gotta be something else, okay? Like, and then how is it that he really wants to be a friend of me? You know, I am a terrible person. We talked about it last week, remember? Like, you're way worse than you really think that you are. You think that you're bad, but you're way worse than you think. You know, we talked about that. We talked about how the devil will use certain things, and the devil will allow certain things, and you'll kind of let him creep into your life and make you something that you're not. But how do we know that God is our friend? How do we know that God's got the best things in mind for us? Does anybody ever question that? Does anybody else ever feel like that in their daily walk? Maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's not, you know, even monthly, but there's seasons of your life where you're like, you know, why do I even do this? This is a struggle for me, right? There's all kinds of failures in your life that you've partaken in, like some of you more than others, and some of you are older than others, and some of you have more opportunities to fail, and some of you are just really perfect at life, and you haven't ever failed, right? There's certain people in this congregation that are absolutely perfect. Or we think that we're perfect. Everybody's looking around the room like, they think they're perfect. But what about things that are outside of our control? What about things that happen to us? And, you know, people like that, that God just, I mean, things just happen to people, right? I mean, you have people in your life that it doesn't matter what's going on, something's going to happen to this person, right? My person right now is Kevin, right? I mean, Kevin can't catch a break right now when it comes to his medical stuff. He's got some medical things going on, if you don't know, so you should pray for Kevin. That's truthful right there in itself. I mean, it just feels like every time something happens, Kevin can't catch a break with this, and I'm like, God, please, like, what's going on? Like, give the dude a break for just a minute. I mean, even seriously, like Monday, he goes for some testing, because it's just, but you know people that, like, when something happens, something else happens, and something else happens, and maybe you're that person that we're all looking at you going, oh, I'm so sorry, poor baby, right? But you are like, this is me, this is my life, that happens to me all the time. And then you know people that stuff never happens to them, or at least that's the way it seems. Stuff never happens to you. How is this? It's just the Lord's goodness to me. And you know, you're like, you. You all know what I'm talking about. You're laughing because it's true. You've been there. You're like, nothing ever happens to them. Just one thing. And you wish that on, and you're like, wait, what just happened? And the devil got you, right? And you're like, oh, jeez. But anyway, there's all these things, right? And we have these distorted views of like what God's going to do and what God's not going to do. And, well, what about our friendships? And what about these people? And we kind of have a tendency when things are kind of going wrong or things are kind of going certain ways, we kind of have a tendency to kind of get with people who think like me and maybe even people that kind of help me stay in the muck. You with me on that? You kind of shy away from the people that you know are going to be like, no, get up, dust yourself off, let's go. You kind of have a tendency to kind of like veer away from those people and kind of like go to the people that are going to keep you down. Y'all hear me? Y'all understand? We've all kind of done that. We've all kind of been that part. And the thing is that you know, that's not where God wants us to be in our relationships. One, that's not where God intends for you to stay to. Okay, and really, like, when we look at God and we look at our relationship of God with God, what makes him different than any of those people? What makes God different from these people over here that are like, hey, you need to get up. Hey, you need to be better. You need to be blah, 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 blah. The people that challenge you, the people that push you, the people that want you to do well versus the people that are over here like, yeah, yeah, get down in the mud. Yeah, you know, all those kind of people. So how is it in our relationship with God? How is he different in these situations? And the truth is this, that God turns our worst things into the best things. And that's a major difference when it comes to our relationship with God, is that he turns our worst things and our worst moments and the worst things that happen to us into the best things, right? And it is no secret that life is hard, right? The struggle is real. Everybody say the struggle is real. Right? There's a lot of people in this church and in this worship center that literally have gone through lots of hardships. And again, some of you have gone through more hardships than others. Some of you have done other things, but it's things like, you know, the death of a parent, or the death of a loved one, or watching someone suffer, or you being the one that suffers, or depression, or anxiety, or addiction, or disorders, or whatever it is, sickness, whatever it is. And these are all things, right, that can make us and make life just unbearable. There's moments in your life where you literally, it makes you just want to throw your hands up and say, why do I even bother? Because this is all it feels like all the time. It's always this. It's always that. It's always this. And you feel like there's no hope in sight, right? And truthfully, when you become a Christian, life just gets harder. Life just gets harder. It's not the same. You have all this stuff that you're thinking about, living this certain way and doing this certain life. Even though Jesus brings freedom, there's still this expectation. There's this hardness of living this Christian life. Then it does get harder because, again, when you're not a believer and you're living this sinful life, there's nothing to worry about. It's just me. I'm doing me. I'm hanging out with me. I want this and I want that. And you just live this life and know it. You don't care what anyone else thinks. You don't care about living a holy life or anything like that. But the minute that you become a believer, boom, well, now there's this expectation to live this holy life, and it just gets hard. And you have to have things like self-control. You can't just say what you want to say when you want to say it, right? Mike, right? I mean, there's just certain things that you want to say when you want to say them, but as a believer, you have this thing inside of you called self-control. Parents, you get it. Don't sit in this room and think that you don't understand what I'm talking about. You get it. It is nothing but an act of God and the grace of God that you don't rip your kids' heads off half the time. They drive you to that moment where you're like, if you weren't my kid, oh, Jesus, now. Right? You're in that moment and you're like, oh. So you understand this feeling. Everybody understands this feeling, whether you have kids or you don't have kids, you're married, you're not married, you're single, you're a teenager, you're a kid, whatever. You understand this feeling, right? And see, we know that God turns our worst into our best because of what the Bible says. So Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to be. We're kind of starting 28. We're going to flip around through the verses just a little bit. But if you want to follow along, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to kick up in 28, says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I'm going to say it to you again. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So first of all, we know that it's in all things. Okay, so there we go. We got all things here. And God works for the good, okay, for those who what? Okay, that's weak. For those who love him, for those that love him, okay, and who have been called according to his purpose. So what things? It's all things, right? So what about him? No. But there was this one time, no, all things. And when he says that he works in all things for the good of his love, he means all things. He means everything. For those that love him, who are called according to his purpose. Now, there's a lot that's kind of involved in this, just one little verse, and we don't have all the time in the world to unpack this one verse, because we could spend an entire 2 or 3 weeks just unpacking this one verse. But the truth is, when he says all things, he means all things. You may not see it right now. There may be some fuzzy stuff in the way right now, but all things work for his good. All things work for your good. All things in your life, that's what he came to do. But you got to know that God is working in it and through it, even though you can't see through it. Okay? So when the mountain is in your way, we just sang about it, when the mountain is in your way, he is still working in you and through you for good, even though you don't get it. I don't get the suffering, John. I don't get why my husband had to die, John. I don't know why I have to get cancer, John. I don't know, but what I do know is that in all things, God works. And he doesn't just work. He works for the good of those who love him. And we become a friend of God, and we love him, and he loves us. It's a matter of him working through us for good, because he is good. Does that make sense? That's a great amen. So that's what he means, right? So life can be terrible. Moments in life could be horrible. Moments in life will be full of suffering. Moments in life will have these kinds of things that happen, right? It may take longer than you expect. Why is God not answering my prayer right now? Why is God not working in my suffering right now? Why am I not seeing anything that's happening right now? But just know that God is working, and it's in his perfect timing that things they take place when he wants them to and he wills them to, and we have to believe and have faith in him to do those things, right? So it may get worse before it gets better, and that's a terrible place to be, but that's exactly what happens. And sometimes you have to endure some hard pains and endure some things that you don't want to necessarily endure, and you have to deal with these things that you don't want to endure. You don't want to have to go through things. Why are they not having to deal with what I'm having to deal with, and they're going through the same thing as me? I don't know, but what I do know is that God works for the good of those who love him. It's all things and in all moments. And see, being a friend of Jesus and having a relationship with him doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect for the rest of your life. You know that. You know that your life is not called to be a life of ease and perfect. Hey, it's going to be perfect, Susan. Welcome to Christianity. It's going to be perfect today. Said no one ever. Stephen, the first martyr. You think he said that on the day that he got stoned to death? Nope. You think Paul, when he got stoned multiple times with a drug out of the city, crawled out buried alive, you think he had a good day that day? Nope. You think things were perfect for him? Nope. You think things were perfect for people throughout? No. No. But see, it does mean that we have a friend who is the God of the universe, who's in control of all things, and that he knows what's best for us, even though we don't even know what's best for us. Even though we think we know what's best for us. Well, this is what's best for me. How do you know that? I had my quiet time this morning. The Lord just spoke, and an audible voice, he told me. Ah, come on. But here's the truth of the matter, though. So if you're in this room and you are suffering, you have things that are going on with you, but you have breath, you have to know that God is not done with you yet. Amen? He's not done. You're still alive. You're still breathing. He's got you here for a purpose, right? You have this thing inside of you. There's this fight within you, right? You know the fight that's inside of you when somebody makes you mad and you want to cuss them out. You know what I'm talking about. Don't sit in this room and act like you don't. You all have a fight within inside you. What is it that's inside you that makes you want to fight? Because the truth is, there should be a moment in you because of Jesus. He makes you want to fight. Not, you know, but fight whatever you're going through. So get up. Don't just wall around in the mud woe is me. Get up. It's his power. It's his might. It's his salvation that should drive you in this walk with Christ. Do something. Because the Bible says this, in Jesus, we are more than conquerors. So look in your Bible to Romans 8:31, and we're going to read through this passage. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, Jesus stepping up to the plate to die for your sins and for my sins was not that so you could have bad things happen to you and so that people would be against you. Jesus stepped up and died on the cross for you because he loves you. Because he loves you. And he wants the best for you. And he knows what this life has to offer. See, that love truly goes far beyond what we can understand or what we can figure out. Like, our mind doesn't really comprehend that. Because Jesus died for you while you were still a sinner. While you were still an enemy of him, he died for you. He put his life on the cross for you because he loved you that much. Remember, just last week we talked about, you know, a person would scarcely die for someone they didn't know. But for a loved one, yeah, I would lay down my life for you. But Jesus laid his life down for you. And that's hard for us to understand. And there's going to be moments in your life where people come against you. There's going to be moments in life that aren't easy. There's going to be moments in life, but see, the pain and suffering will continue. But what God does promise is this, is that you will continue to come out on top. You will continue to come out on top. When it comes to the end of that suffering, when it comes to the end of that mountain, or it comes to the end of that hill, whatever you're doing, you will be on top of that deal because Jesus has already made the payment. He's already taken care of the penalty of sin. He's already taken care of the penalty of death. Maybe you won't end the suffering in this life, but in the next life, you will come out on top. Amen? And it's crazy to think about that. And sometimes, when you're going through the suffering, it feels like you're wrestling with a bear. I've never wrestled with a bear, but I could assume watching videos online and things like that, that they're, you know, it's probably a little tough deal, but I can imagine these guys, you know, these crazy videos where people, you know, they're hunting and all of a sudden they get attacked by a big grizzly bear and a bear gets a hold of them, knocks them around a few times, and somehow miraculously they live. Y'all know what kind of videos I'm talking about? These crazy things. And I'm assuming, you know, if I'm just being me, like I'm kind of figuring and looking at suffering as a bear attack. Maybe it gets a hold of you for a minute. Maybe it knocks you around a little bit. Maybe it even takes an ounce or two of flesh from you. Maybe it's something severe. But see, Jesus will heal those wounds. Jesus is the one that's going to come through on this deal. Jesus is the one who's going to make it right. Jesus is the one who's going to give you everything that you need to overcome what you just went through. Amen? It may have been a hard fight. It may have been a long fight. Maybe it was a short fight. I don't know what kind of fight it was. But Jesus is victorious over this. And Jesus is going to deliver you from this. And Jesus is going to walk you down that road. So you can't sit and wallow in your pity and wallow in all this junk that you got going. You got to get up and let him do his work. I'm going to say it again. You got to get up and let him do his work. Okay, you can't sit around. Why do I even bother? See, Jesus knows what he's doing, and he puts you in a place where you are on purpose. And he's going to pull you through where he puts you, right? Because Jesus wants a better life for you, right? Because he knows the consequences of sin. And to be apart from Jesus for eternal life is not something that you really want to be a part of. I don't know if you know that or not, but it's not really a place that people desire to be. Hey, apart from Jesus for eternity, sign me up for that one. That's not what we want to do. No one wants to be apart from Jesus, right? And see, the truth is this, that there will be a moment where suffering no longer exists. But that's not here. That's not here. There's going to be suffering here. And when we get to heaven on the other side of eternity, and there is no more suffering, and there is no more tears, and there are no more hurtings, and no more issues, and you're getting to hang out with the one who saved you, you're getting to hang out with Jesus, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, and the one who makes all things right. When you get to hang out on that side, then you can say, now I get it. Now I understand, because in this life we may never understand why you're suffering. We may never understand, but we know this, that God has made Jesus' death on the cross a way for us to become friends with him. And so the Bible doesn't just stop earlier. See, God didn't just stop at, you know, that we're more than conquerors and all that. He continues on 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is your security blanket. That's the thing that he has secured you 100%. There's nothing in this world that can take you away from Jesus. No suffering, no hurt, no nothing at all. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And that gives us confidence. At least it does for me. I mean, that makes me want to be like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing? Okay, let's do it, right? Maybe you're in this room and you struggled with never feeling love before. Maybe you struggle in this room with doubt. Maybe you struggle with all kinds of things like that. But God is here to protect you. He sent Jesus to love you, to protect you, to guide you, to hold you up in the midst of all of this trouble. And see, that's why Jesus died on the cross for you, because his love far outweighs anyone else's love or any other feeling that you can ever feel outside of the love of Christ. You will never find this love in your addictions. You will never find this kind of love in someone else. You will never find this love in success. You will never find this love in money. You will never find this kind of love outside of Jesus. And that is the truth behind this. And see, we were enemies of God because our sin made us enemies of God. But because of Jesus, we're now allowed to be a friend of God because of his death, burial, and resurrection. So as we close this series, right, as this worship team comes to lead us in our final song, you need to know he's got your back. He's here to fight for you. He's here to stand for you. He's here to do things for you that only he can do in your life. But you've got to allow him to move. You've got to allow him to move mountains, right? He moves mountains. He moves mountains if they're in your way. The song says, in the highlands or the heartaches, he is still God. And he has the same intentions for you. It's all the same. And so as we close this time together, I want to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you a friend of God? Or are you an enemy of God? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is reiterated time and time and time again. It doesn't matter how amazing you think you are. Outside of Jesus, you have nothing. You have one thing that is for certain if you live outside of Jesus. And that is an eternal life separated from him. And this is the truth of the gospel. God will fight for you. He will protect you. He will never let you go. Ever. But you have to trust in him. So as we close this series out, we want you to dedicate your life to him. But just quite honestly, it's because of Jesus that we even bother. Let's pray. Father, it's because of you that we're here, and it's because of you that we're able to stand and worship in a place and freely talk about you. And Father, we pray that you would move in this time. God, we pray that you would bring salvation to those who need salvation. God, that they would know that it's not about any other God that they put before you. The Bible is true about that. It's about you, the one true living God. A relationship outside of Jesus is nothing. We have nothing outside of you. And Father, we pray that you would humble us before you. Bring to light our transgressions, Father. Bring to light the sins that we sin against you, Father. Help us to be a disciple of you, a follower of you. Father, we pray that your love would be a light in our life, where there are no dark corners, Father. There are no dark corners where you could see all. And Father, that we would humble ourselves before you. Father, bring redemption, Father. Bring forgiveness, Father. Give us clean hands and pure hearts, Lord. Lord, we pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Father, they would accept you as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that there's someone here with an addiction or suffering, Father, they would hand those things over to you, Father, that you would break the chains of those things, Father, so that we can live a life for you. Father, if there's a mountain in our way, Lord, we pray that you would move it. Lord, we know that you are here, and we know that you're going to do mighty work. Father, we pray that we be obedient to you and your calling. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to come for prayer, or you have a decision that you want to make, Steve will come up in here. I'll be up here. If you're here and you want to accept Christ as your Savior, we'd love to talk to you. Outside of Jesus, there is no hope. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. So stand and let's sing together.